WWE Universe, the D-Loop Podcast is now a brand affiliate of WWE Shop with Fanatics. Get all of your latest merchandise from your favorite WWE superstars and wear them proud. So if it's CM Punk, the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes, LA Knight, the Tribal Chief Roman Reigns, or legends like The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Bret the Hitman Hart, again, you can get all of your favorite merchandise over at wrestling.thedloopodcast.com. Again, that's wrestling.thedloopodcast.com to get all of your favorite merchandise at WWE Shop with Fanatics.
This podcast is a Bleav Network and Luciete production.
Welcome to another edition of the D-Loop Podcast, brought to you by Bleav Network. I'm your host, Derek T. Lewis. I hope the week is treating you great. Oh man, this past weekend, I was a part of history at ECWA Super 8 tournament, where the ECWA heavyweight champion, Mr. Darius Carter, not only did he defend the championship in each round of the tournament, but he became the only two-time winner in the history of the Super 8 tournament. That was the 28th annual tournament that took place, and it was an honor of mine to be the ring announcer, you know, for, you know, the Super 8 tournament with ECWA. So huge shout out to every single wrestler on the card. You know, for some of them that I didn't know, that I just met for the first time, you know, it was really cool to network with you, and somewhere down the road our careers and lives will cross paths, I hope. But this episode is obviously, you know, we're hit deep, you know, in WrestleMania season. You know, WrestleMania is fast approaching, April 6th and 7th at the Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia. And me and Gabby are going to do something different this week. We're actually going to give our top 10 favorite WrestleMania matches of all time. I'm serious, of all time. Let's not wait any longer. Celebrating 40 years of WrestleMania with Gabby starts right now.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the D-Loop Podcast. She's always in the drive. I love her. She's in the driver's seat when it comes to professional wrestling. The one and only Gabby, thank you for coming back. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, it tis the season for WrestleMania, and I can't believe, as we're recording this right now, we're about a good week and a half away from the granddaddy of them all, WrestleMania 40. Can you believe it?
This is the 40th insane.
WrestleMania. I mean, like I said, I remember where I was, where I saw WrestleMania number one in a theater, closed circuit TV, and now, you know, here we are. 40 consecutive years later, first of all, it's two nights now.
Mm-hmm.
It's streaming. I mean, pay-per-view is pretty much obsolete at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's on streaming services, you know, Peacock, you know, WWE Network if you're not in the United States. So, I mean, there's been so much history with this event. I mean, there's so many stories as we're recording this on Wednesday the 27th. You know, it's 36 years ago today that WrestleMania 4 took place. And the Macho Man Randy Savage wrestled four times in the vacant WWF Championship Tournament to become the Undisputed Champion. He defeated in succession, what was it, Greg Valentine? No, was it the One Man Gang? Not the One Man Gang. My God, I'm trying to go off my memory right now. I think the first round was the Natural Butch Reed, Greg the Hammer Valentine, the One Man Gang, and the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase in the finals. I had to get my memory. I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, it was that chronological order. But and what was cool about that is that he had on four different robes that night.
Mm. And you know, his robes were never basic, never generic. They were always elaborate.
And also Elizabeth had on four different dresses to go with his robe. I mean, Macho was so unique in how he looked, how he presented himself, which made him a larger-than-life WWE superstar that transcended wrestling. You mm-hmm. know, he was doing, obviously, the Slim Jim commercials, and he was in movies, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so the one and only Macho Man always gets love on this show. But what me and Gabby are going to do for this episode as we celebrate 40 years of WrestleMania is that we're going to give you all our personal top 10 favorite matches, or best matches, in our opinion, in the history of WrestleMania. And in addition to that, we can have two honorable mentions as well. I have my 10 and two honorable mentions, and Gabby has hers too. So I'm a gentleman. I always let the ladies go first. So Gabby, without any further ado, what's your number 10?
So mine are in no order.
Okay.
But I think that it's hard to talk WrestleMania without mentioning the TLC match from number 17.
Okay. Okay.
I'm going to start it off there. I mean, tables, ladders, and chair match. I think that that match rather set the tone for hardcore wrestling. You know what I mean? Like tables, ladders, and chairs. I think that it just one of those matches that, again, you can't talk WrestleMania without mentioning this match.
I agree. And I mean, that one is in my, I'm going to actually do it in order from 10 on one.
Okay.
I'm going to do it. My number 10, and we're going to talk about that match as well as we get to it. My number 10 is the 2023 D-Lew podcast match of the year. Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley from WrestleMania.
So I have them, but I was going to leave them to like towards the one-ish spot. Again, in no order, but I was going to,
right.
I 100% have them on my list as well. Okay. I you go. This is just, you've named it. You talk about it.
Okay. So initially we all thought that was going to be the main event. And of course, you know, the tag team championship match, you know, obviously had hierarchy, obviously, because of the Bloodline storyline, Sami Zayn and everything else. So that's why that match ended up going on last on night one. And I will say that was, if I have to say, the greatest women's match in North American history. Because obviously in Japan, you know how they can go all day long. We know that. But in regards in North America, that has to be one of the probably one of the greatest women's matches of all time.
Agree. From start to finish.
From A to Z, their entrances and just and I said it when I talked about when we were breaking down the end of year awards on the show, I'm like no, how could you top that? That night they went out to prove a point. Like
and
life
did.
Depend like life really depended on it. And I just feel as though that when you know, because we all have these discussions about, you know, top 10 matches of all time or what's the greatest matches in WrestleMania, a lot of the women's matches unfortunately are not ever mentioned in that. And I think it's mainly has nothing to do with the women themselves. It's basically how they were booked and how they were positioned for all these years. And I just
agreed.
Think that now, you know, I would say maybe since 2015, 2016 was when I would say WrestleMania 32, because you figure WrestleMania 31 was that tag match with the Bella Twins against AJ Lee and Paige. And that was kind of like the end, the last WrestleMania that they were called Divas, because remember, they went behind the scenes and Triple H told the women, you're no longer Divas, you're WWE superstars. And that's when they brought out, they were retiring the Divas Championship that night, and it was going to be the winner of that triple threat match with Charlotte, Sasha Banks, and Becky was going to be the WWE Women's Champion. And that was, and they had Lita present the title, you know what I mean, which was awesome that they were able to do that. But I said all that to say that, you know, the fact that, and I felt as though that match was one of the best on that card that whole entire weekend. That's why I gave it match of the year. So that's why I gave it my number 10. Now you go next.
All right. I think once again, it's hard to talk about WrestleMania without mentioning the WrestleMania GOAT himself, Shawn, HBK. And I'm going to go back to WrestleMania 21 with Shawn versus Kurt Angle.
Okay. Talk about it.
I think Sean's going to be on my list a few times. So, guys,
Oh,
you know,
I
anyone knows me knows I'm
yes,
HBK girl. So
yes,
he's on my
yes,
list
yes.
quite a few times. Because again,
Same
Mr.
here, same here,
WrestleMania,
same here.
you
Yes.
cannot discuss anything regarding WrestleMania without including my boy Sean. But I think him and Kurt Angle put on a great match. They ran it back a few times. The chemistry was there, the storyline was there. I mean, you got sexy Kurt, the lovely song. Again, I
I'm gonna make
just
your ankle hurt, right?
you know, we were able to see more of Kurt's personality, which I think is great as well, because I think that he, when he had the Kurt Angle Olympic gold medalist, that was his thing. Like, we didn't get a chance to really see who Kurt was, that he is more entertaining as well. He has a personality. Like, yes, he can wrestle. He wrestled with a broke freaking neck. We understand that, but we got a
Right.
chance to kind of see, like, he can have some fun with, you know. So yeah, I think that that match again is one of the ones that should be talked about when you're talking about WrestleMania and Mr. WrestleMania.
Now, I will say that that is not on my top 10, but I mean, and again, the match was awesome, but my number nine is going to be from WrestleMania 6, the Red and Yellow Man versus the Ultimate Warrior. And I'll explain why, because I was 11 years old when that match happened. Because to me, I think one thing I'll give the former owner of WWE credit for back then is that he knew how to position certain guys and insinuate all of their positives and hide their negatives. Now, as we got older, we realized, okay, the Warrior wasn't necessarily the greatest wrestler in the ring. Okay, we get that. But you could not deny when that music hit and he ran down the aisle, I went crazy on just watching him on TV, let alone, because again, I never seen him live yet like that, back then. But to see in a matter of, think about it, the Warrior was signed in 87 when he left World Class Championship Wrestling. So summer of 87 to April 1st, 1990, that's how long it took him to get into the main event at WrestleMania with the biggest star in the company, the biggest star in the business. He had something. And that was unprecedented that we had two baby faces in the main event of WrestleMania with both titles on the line. Obviously, the Red and Yellow Man was the WWF champion, and of course, the Ultimate Warrior was the Intercontinental champion. And fans, you had to make a choice on who you wanted to cheer for. And you couldn't see neither either one of those guys losing. And if you look at the match, obviously Pat Patterson was the agent for that match, obviously. And the match was great for what you were asking those two guys to do. Listen, if you were looking for a five-star match in the Tokyo Dome and all that wasn't happening. This was in the Sky Dome in Toronto. 67,678 fans at the Toronto Sky Dome. And like him or not, the Warrior, I mean, he literally became the man that night. And he was the first guy to pin Hogan clean in that era, which was huge, huge at the time. That's why I couldn't, I could, I tried to, I was trying to think about, like, should I put this in my top 10? But it's like, I had to, because you made your new star. Granted, he was a star, but he became the face of the company while Hogan, while the Red and Yellow Man went away for a few months to film a movie. So that's why I put that at the Red and Yellow Man versus Ultimate Warrior from WrestleMania 6 at number 9.
So I think that when people talk about older wrestling matches rather, and older wrestlers, I think you have to kind of meet the match where it is for the time.
But that's
You
exactly
know what
why
I
I did what
mean?
I did.
Like,
Right.
and I think that people forget that, and they're like, "Oh, blah 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 versus such and such for that." It's like, no. If
No.
you were there in, I'm making this up, 99, that match was great for 99. Is that
Right.
match the same great? On the same level as it is in 2024? Probably not. But again, meet it for meet. You have to meet these matches for their time and for their error.
Absolutely.
So a like for instance, on my list, I have Macho Man versus Ricky the Steamboat in from number three.
Okay, number three,
That's
okay.
on my list, right? And again, it's one of those matches that you have to meet where it's at for that time. Like Macho Man versus Steamboat. Like, let's take it back to Mania 3 in that era. Like, those two competitors meeting at WrestleMania and how great that match was. Yes, it didn't have the flippy dippies and all of the things that you can have now, but again, meet that match where it's at. It's a great match from start, from bell to bell. And again, I think that people always, when you talk WrestleMania, they always talk about their era that they're in or that they remember wrestling. It's like, no, let's
Right.
dig a little back further. Like, I wasn't watching wrestling for WrestleMania 3. However, because I'm a fan of wrestling, I've gone back and I've watched these older matches. Me and my brother, whenever he's in town, he doesn't watch today's stuff as much. He comes to town, he wants to pull up WrestleMania
The
one
old
and two.
stuff.
He wants to pull up Halloween Havoc from 97. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he wants to watch those matches. And that's when I kind of was like, you know what? Yeah, there are some great matches. We don't always need a super kick party. You know what
Right,
I
and
mean? You
and
don't
that
always need.
match, right, and that, and believe it or not, that match that you just mentioned, Savage Steamboat, is on my, it was on my number six, and I'll get to that. Having seen the match and the story as it built, what happened was, if you look back at it, the match and the storyline didn't make sense, because in the storyline, the Macho Man injured Ricky Steamboat's larynx. I'm quote unquote his
Air
larynx, and
quotes.
he. Yeah, because what happened is that he Macho Man took the ringside bell and did the elbow drop on his throat, and Steamboat was selling the crap out of it. He even had to go to a speech therapist there just
Right, to
through
get
this whole deal. But then when they get to WrestleMania 3, they're just like, it was just all these so many near falls in the match, and it was just like they just put on a wrestling clinic for 1987. Like they, I mean, it, but there was no brawling. Because I mean, for a match that personal, I was expecting, even at 8, 9 years old at the time, I was expecting them to be brawling, not wrestle the way that they did. And what's crazy is that people, granted, the main event that night obviously was Red and Yellow versus Andre the Giant. We get
Of
that.
course, right.
And the 93,173 fans that were in the Silverdome that night in Pontiac, Michigan,
Where
which
I'm
is the
from, shout out to Pontiac.
Yeah, Pontiac, Michigan, home of Gabby. I miss the Silverdome. I wish they didn't ever tore that thing down, by the way. I had a little tear in my eye when I saw the demolition of the stadium. I wish that somebody could have bought it and could have like preserved it. I wish
They did buy
WWE.
it and someone bought it and they just let it go, unfortunately. They bought it for next to nothing too. So,
Right.
I'm sorry, fun fact here. My grandfather was actually on the board of directors for the Pontiac Silverdome. And I know for a fact when that went up, I know he's turning in his grave right now. Like, he was on the board of directors for that for many, many years. He was part of building it. He ran through the director for it. Just it hurt me and my family's heart to see it go. But again,
If I
it's
was
just life.
WWE, I would have purchased the Silverdome, and I would have literally let that be a land, let that be a museum for
It was a freaking
WrestleMania
used car
3.
lot.
Basically,
Literally.
let it set up like the ring, the ring apron, and everything. You could charge fans to come in and just watch and just look and set up the chairs and everything. Let that be, like a museum almost for WrestleMania 3. That's what I would have done if I was you figure WWE could have afforded it, but I mean, hey.
Yeah, I mean, it sold for like, I no exaggeration, like $500,000.
$500,000. I think a Canadian
Nothing.
family bought it or something like
Yeah, they
that.
bought it and they turned it
Yeah.
into like it was honestly a used Kia lot. So back, I believe it was Katrina or some other flooding, they shipped a bunch of cars and they were all literally, it was literally a used car lot. It's super unfortunate what happened to the Pontiac Silverdome. Again, shout out to Pontiac. I'm literally from Pontiac. I went to Pontiac High School. Yeah, but I agree with you 100%. It's heartbreaking what happened to that stadium.
Yeah, it's insane.
I mean, the Jacksons were there. Like, I can name so many great things that happened at that stadium and just now it's nothing.
Sucks. So I'm gonna move on to number eight on my list, and it is from WrestleMania 12, Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels in the 60-minute Iron Man match. And I'm a wrestling purist, and people tell me, oh, that match is boring. Even my boy Conrad Thompson, shout out to the Podfather. Conrad Thompson, who's owner of Ad Free Shows. For, you know, he always listens to the show. Check him out. Subscribe. Do what you got to do. You go to the Patreon and all that jazz. Get all of the listings of different levels of membership if you want to get it. That's his free plug from me. But he actually finds that match boring. He said it on the on when they were covering WrestleMania 12, him and Bruce, and he was just like, I didn't want to really see the match until 5 minutes later, the five until there was like 5 minutes left, because why am I going to sit there and watch a bunch of like near falls happen? But I'm just like, that's the beauty of it. But I you finally got to see, and this is just my opinion, why from 1990, I would say 1991 to 1997, why Bret Hart was the absolute best professional wrestler in the world, because he literally brought the absolute best out of everybody. Think about how many great matches he's had in that 5 to 6 year run.
I mean, he's on my list three times.
Right.
I
That's what
have
I'm
three Bret
saying.
Hart matches.
Yeah. And I'm just saying, like, if you think about 91, obviously SummerSlam 91 against Mr. Perfect. Then you have his match against then you have the British Bulldog from SummerSlam 92, that match. The King of the Ring in 93, when he wrestled three times that night. 94, the match, his opening match against Owen Hart. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you literally say that he always was in the conversation of having a match of the year candidate because of just how good he was. And I thought he brought the best out of Shawn Michaels that night. Like, I
I
just
think
thought, yeah.
I think that Bret Hart would be wrestling today if he could, if he didn't have that injury.
Oh, 100%.
I think that Bret
100%.
Hart's career ended, I hate to say tragically short because he didn't pass away, but like it ended very short. And I genuinely in my heart believe that had he not got injured, he would literally be wrestling today.
And mind you, he had been wrestling for 23 years at that point.
Yeah, he's from the dungeon.
Yeah, but that match, the story building up to it, obviously, again, two baby faces, but just the training montage. Obviously, they had Shawn Michaels doing all of these flips and stuff in the ring, training with Jose Lothario. And then you had Bret Hart running the icy grounds in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. You had him swimming in the pool. You had Stu in the dungeon, being the stretch, I'm stretching the dungeon. I mean, he's like stretching Brett, you know what I'm talking about? So just building up to that, like the grizzled veteran against this young hotshot kid, Shawn Michaels, and their WWF careers were parallel. The tag team, the obviously the mid card, the Intercontinental, you know what I mean? And now these two forces are coming to a head, and I honestly thought Bret Hart was going to retain the title that night. And then, of course, Gorilla Monsoon said there must be a winner. Sudden death, super kick. Shawn Michaels wins 1-2-3. I was actually pissed off that Shawn Michaels won that night. I was actually pissed. I was really, really mad. But that match, but just if you just watch that match, it was like, it was the way it was framed. It was just incredible to just see how much, and I love technical wrestling. I love technical wrestling. And I just appreciated that the fact that even in that era, in the cartoon era of WWF, that they were able to put on a match like that. And you go next.
All right. So I think once again, I mean, speaking of Bret Hart, he's up next. I have Bret Hart versus Roddy Piper.
That's in my honor. That's in one of mine. You'll find out a little bit, but yeah, that match, surprisingly, because everyone thought that Roddy Piper was going, it was just going to be a typical Roddy match, the brawling and all that sort of stuff. That was the best match on the card at WrestleMania 8.
I
You could,
mean, the interview, the match, the
yeah.
build up, the finish, you know what I mean? Like, there are so many elements in that match that, again, like you made the comment, like, everyone thought it was going to be a typical Roddy match. And just, again, just Bret Hart, you could have a, no, I'm not saying that Roddy's a bad wrestler, but literally, Bret Hart could have a match with the Stanley Cup and it would be five
Yeah.
stars. You know what I mean? Like, it just goes to show that time as well, because, again, they didn't have all of the fancies. They literally had technical wrestling. It was
Right.
Bret Hart and Roddy Piper. The interviews leading up to it, where it got a little too personal for Bret, Bret was like, we're done. I'm gonna beat you. You know what I mean? Like we're not doing this. You have the belt. I want it. Thank you. Let's go wrestle. I mean, just classic wrestling again for that time. And I
Yeah,
just
I
again,
mean,
I think
yeah.
it's very hard to discuss WrestleMania without, your Shawn Michaels and your Bret Harts.
I mean, they also got some color in that match too. They were they had a little juice, and it was crazy how it happened, and it just added to the drama of the match. And that finish is I love that finish of the match where Piper had the sleeper on him, and Bret Hart kicked off of the top rope of the corner, and just put all this weight on Piper to pin him. And that's one thing I loved about Bret Hart matches. You never know how he was going to win each match. On TV, yes, he's doing a sharpshooter. He's doing a sharpshooter on the TV matches. But on pay-per-view back then, he could beat you with an inside cradle. He could beat you with an Oklahoma roll. He could beat you with a schoolboy. He could do everything.
You name it.
Everything. He can literally, that's how I loved watching him on pay-per-view, because you just never knew
What he was going to pull out
what
his
the
bag of
finish was gonna
tricks.
be. Right. You know what I mean? So that's why I really love that match. That's not a bad, it wasn't a bad match at all. Like I said, the best match on the card at WrestleMania 8. My number 7 is from WrestleMania 30, Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton versus Batista.
All right. I have
And
it on my honorables. Talk about it. Let's go.
I think when you think about Daniel Bryan's come up, right? You think about his first WrestleMania was WrestleMania. Now, granted, he was on a dark match at WrestleMania 27, but mind you, he was in the opening card at 28, and the match was 12 seconds, and he lost. The following year, he's in a tag match with Kane against Dolph Ziggler and Big E Langston. And he got screwed out of the WWE title when he won it from Cena at SummerSlam. Triple H turns on him and all that. And now they're talking about he's this B plus player. Then, of course, originally Daniel Bryan was supposed to wrestle Sheamus at WrestleMania 30. Punk was supposed to wrestle Triple H, and Batista was supposed to wrestle Randy Orton for the title. But because Punk left, and that just kind of left everything and
Left a
honestly,
void.
yeah. And of course, the Yes Movement started. The Yes Movement started,
The
and
infamous Yes Movement.
oh my God. And it was just, you just felt this energy that was coming from the fans. And I mean the Yes Movement had transcended wrestling, because you had Michigan State. It was a game, it was a basketball game, and oh God, yes, yes, yeah. You know what I mean? All these different sports was doing it, doing the Yes, doing the D-Bry. They made a song about it, do the D-Bry. You know what I mean? So it was just all of this buildup. And then, of course, Daniel Bryan had to wrestle Triple H in the first match of WrestleMania 30, in which he did win. He got beat down. And then, of course, he's injured. He comes out. And I mean, just the way he won it, he made Batista tap out, and that crowd became unglued at the Superdome.
Absolutely.
And it was just like, I can never ever get that image out of my head, when he was on the announcer's table, and you saw the WrestleMania 30 logo behind him, and the pyro's going off, and he's doing the Yes. And I'm just like, oh my God, so emotional. And you think, for a guy that's 5'8", 5'9", 195 pounds,
Not their typical wrestler body.
not the typical WWE, the prototypical wrestler that they used to look for, he was able to overcome that perception, and the fans fell in love with him. And it was truly one of the best WrestleMania moments of all time.
I think that we should have a discussion, not obviously today, but soon about like wrestling arenas and wrestling stadiums. You know what I mean? Because again, I think that the Superdome, which is one of those places where it's like, it's a great place for wrestling. Like the way you can set that place up, like in, I don't know.
Well,
It's,
here's some
I just think there
history.
are certain places that
Well, here's
just,
some history for you. Mid-South Wrestling, which turned into UWF, that was owned by Cowboy Bill Watts, used to do their big shows every year at the
Oh, that's
Superdome.
right.
So like back when the Junkyard Dog was there and Ted DiBiase and Butch Reed and Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Dr. Death Steve Williams, you know, Ernie the Big Cat, Ernie, they all had those big events at the Superdome. As a matter of fact, the Clash of the Champions during the Steamboat Flair trilogy, I believe it was Flair Steamboat 2, Clash of the Champions, because they went head to head against WrestleMania 5, that also took place at the Superdome. So there's been a lot of historical events that took place at that stadium.
Absolutely.
That's something
You're
we
up.
that'll be on our list. We got to talk about the best stadiums for wrestling that we've seen on TV or we've experienced live. Absolutely.
All right. So, what number are we at?
I just finished number seven, so you're at we're at number six now.
All right. So once again, we're bringing back Mr. WrestleMania. Let's talk about Mr. WrestleMania HBK versus Razor Ramon, WrestleMania 10.
Okay. I'm with it. Okay.
Go. No.
I mean, I would have to say that match. And again, I'm biased towards Brett. I thought if you wanted to talk about wrestling match, him and Owen completely stole the show. They were the opening match of WrestleMania.
So they're on my list too. We'll get there in a
But
minute.
right, but I think the better the, and again, both stories were great between
Absolutely.
Brett and Owen, and then of course the controversy of the IC title being two champions. Well, Shawn never lost him when he got suspended, and then Razor won the tournament,
Won
the
the
Battle Royal
tournament.
and all that in '93, and now you got, you know, them coming to a head, and now whoever can grab both belts can, you know, is going to walk out with the title. The move in of the match was when Shawn did that splash off the top of the ladder. I'm like, oh, I said,
Sean
come on.
came to fight. Sean came to go that night. Like,
Absolutely,
wasn't
absolutely.
Vince on commentary that night as well?
Vince did, I think the very first WrestleMania that Vince was actually on color commentary, I believe, was WrestleMania 2, because they were in different or they were in different venues for that particular WrestleMania. But I'm talking about on a consistent basis. His first WrestleMania that he actually was on commentary was WrestleMania 10.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm pretty sure Vince was on color that night too, which is also another layer because again, he doesn't normally do those things. But yeah, just a great match. I think it's probably one of the greatest matches in
Yeah.
WrestleMania history again. The build up for it with Shawn never really losing his title, Razor
Right.
winning it, winner raising it. I'm sorry, Razor winning it in a tournament like ours there. I think it's just one of those classic matches where once again, Shawn was, I don't want to say he was in his prime then, but he was hot and ready to go.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the greatest matches that Shawn and Razor have had. We all know the history there between them. But again, I really like that match. I actually did a mini breakdown of that matches on my TikTok. You guys go find it there on my Instagram at Hi Gabby. It's one of my favorite matches that again I did a whole like 2 minute video on breaking it down.
Awesome. Awesome. Definitely go to her, HIIGABII. Check her out on Instagram. You can actually go and check that out, that review.
This episode of the DLU podcast is brought to you by Goalie Nutrition. As someone who's used Goalie for quite some time, I can tell you that they're not only very good, but they're very beneficial. My favorite are the Super Green Gummies. The Super Green Gummies are uniquely crafted with a spectrum of essential nutrients such as vitamins A, B12, folic acid, and theamine. It supports a healthy liver function, healthy nervous and immune system, digestive health, a boost to your metabolism, and overall health and well-being. There are no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or colors from artificial sources. They're vegan-friendly, gluten-free, and gelatin-free. All loyal listeners of the DLU podcast get a special 10% discount at checkout. Go to goalie.com, use promo code DLEW. That's goalie.com, use promo code DLEW.
Now, my number six match again was Savage Steamboat. So we've already talked about that match already. But like I said, having seen that match as it, when it happened, you know, hey, listen, it was for the Intercontinental Championship. Macho Man had been champion, I think, a year and a month. So he had a nice lengthy run as the champion. And it was weird seeing him lose it You know what I mean? And obviously Ricky Steamboat walking out of there with the title. But storyline wise, the right guy won. And that was the goal. That was definitely the goal. We're gonna move on to number five right now.
All right, we're ranking the top five. Let's go. All right, I have Stone Cold versus The Rock from number 17.
Okay, all right. And that's on my list as well. Let's talk about that one. So what was it about that one in particular that, because obviously they had their own WrestleMania
Yeah,
trilogy,
they had
you
a
know what I
trilogy.
mean? What made this one special than the other two?
Oh, it's a hard one. I think that this was back when I don't want to say yeah, Prime Rocky, because Prime is so. I would say this is one of the versions of The Rocks that I enjoyed. I'll put it that
Okay.
way. I think that it was I think it's the best match in their trilogy. And again, another one of those wrestlers who, had they not got in, and I hate, it sounds weird because Stone Cold wrestled last year. And like, we all thought that Stone Cold was going to get up there. And I'm not last year, but we all thought that Stone Cold was going to like hit KO with a stunner and that'd be the match. And they had a match. But again, I
Yeah.
do think that if Stone Cold had not gotten injured, he was another wrestler who would still be wrestling today. And again, I think this was like Prime Rock, where he had like the Ray-Bans on, the gold chain, the Versace shirt, you know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
kind of the version that we're seeing now, but where we saw it when it was like live.
Great. Yeah.
The Rock is one of my favorites for many, many reasons. And I think one of the reasons why I loved him is that I love his personality. I love the arrogance. I think that it was also, I mean, you pretty much had the two faces of the company going against each other. How
Yeah.
often do you see the two faces going up against each other where it make, you know what I mean? Where it's hard to kind of figure out, all right, who's really my heel? Who's really my face? Where
Right.
normally it's pretty clear who's playing what. As much as they like to say, we don't necessarily always put face versus heel. They do. What are your thoughts on this match? You said you had it on yours as well.
It's on my list, and I got to tell you that this was when The Rock was really. Whew, it was like you couldn't touch him. He was everywhere. I mean, basically year 2000, because obviously Austin was gone mostly the year 2000 because of his surgery. The Rock was basically the man and the face of wrestling at that point. And he was, I mean, literally he did a song with Wyclef Jean called It Doesn't Matter. He was, I mean, he was everywhere. Let me tell you something. In the year 2000, this is very, very true. I was turning 22 that year. 21 and a half year old Derek had my hair, the curly and all that. I had the mutton, I had the sideburns. I'm telling you, I literally was like, Dwayne was my guy. He really was. And I had the shade. My nephew was just talking to me about this a couple weeks ago. He's like, "Hey, Uncle Derek, I remember you used to have the sideburns." Like, I'm like, "Yeah, I did." Like I love The Rock, man. It's like everybody wanted a piece of The Rock. You know what I
You
mean? No
had
matter
to.
what. And he was just so entertaining, but everyone forgets. Damn good wrestler, a damn good worker. And if you think about it, he said this in an interview a few years ago. His work in the ring is similar to Scott Hall. Very smooth. And I would put Randy Orton in there too. Just flawless in the ring. They could just work magic and they could just do it all in there. I really enjoyed that match. And obviously, the heel. I had a feeling. I told the kid this right before I went home that night to watch WrestleMania 17. I said, I have a feeling Austin's going to turn heel and go with Vince McMahon. I just had a. I don't know.
Sometimes you just
I said, because. For Austin to win the title back, it's like, okay, where do you go from
know. Where's
here?
this going?
It would have just been very, very. Now, granted, they were in Texas, they were in Houston at the Astrodome, so that crowd was very pro Austin. So he could have lost, and they would have cheered anyway. But the point is that I just had a feeling something was going to happen, and it did. And he ended up going with Vince McMahon, and I mean, Jim Ross had a lot of the night. He said. Why did he go out with Satan himself? Why, Austin? Why, damn it? I mean, man, like just you can't script that. That's
No,
what
you can't. And
that can't be scripted.
no.
Well, my number five is the same guy, The Rock, versus the Red and Yellow Man from WrestleMania 18.
Ah, he's on my list too. All right. Talk about it.
And for okay, first of all, again, it was the perfect building, Skydome. And to me, that was a prime example of a crowd making the match. And again, this is all about what we're going to do in a few weeks when we talk about arenas and venues and wrestling and how we can really, really set the tone for an event, a match, or whatever the case may be. I truly believe those fans at Skydome, and I actually know a few people that were there that night. If you turn that, if you watch that match with the volume down, which I've done, the match is kind of meh, okay. But oh boy, when you turn that volume up, and when you see the interaction, how basically that crowd turned Rocky heel, and The Rock was smart enough to realize, okay, I'm gonna have to go with this. And they did that in the middle of the match. Like there was really no, some people get freaked out. Sometimes you just gotta go with it. And oh, when Red and Yellow kicked out of the rock bottom and he started, walking up and all this other stuff, that crowd, man, that I mean, I could still remember being on the edge of my bed watching that match. So anxious, like, oh my God, is he gonna beat him? And the call by Jim Ross when he did the leg drop and he said, "He beat Andre the Giant with this same move." I'm just like, oh man, that was one of the greatest calls. Just talking about history, you know what I mean? And just it was like everyone played their part in that match. The crowd, commentary, and the wrestlers that were in the ring, even the referee who stood out of the frame when they went face to face and just let the crowd just eat it up. And they just
So
stood
Bully Ray actually mentioned doing that, and I've done it a few times, going back and watching the matches silent and seeing the difference between the event and the crowd and seeing the difference between the two. And I've gone back and done it a few matches. I have not done it for this match, but now I'm kind of curious. So I'll be doing that tonight. I'll text you later. Yeah, it's just one of those ones where the crowd truly can make or break a match and make or break the setting. If the crowd ain't
100%.
in it, then it doesn't matter how good the match is,
Oh yeah.
it's not going to go anywhere. But if the crowd is in it, no matter how, and I'm not saying this is a bad match, no matter how bad the match is, it's golden. You just, it's crowd matters,
I mean,
which is
hell.
why, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's an important factor, and it should point into a test how hard it was for wrestling when we had the pandemic era, but not
Oh
here nor
yeah.
there, here nor there. But yes,
Right.
I also have that match on my list as well.
Well, I mean, I put you this way. I was a part of a crowd when we absolutely shit on a match. I was in a crowd at a WrestleMania where we collectively shit on the match. And I guarantee you, I know that you know which one I'm talking about.
I got a feeling. I got a feeling.
Take a guess.
You said you were there?
I was there.
Okay. How many years ago?
20.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got nothing for you then. Which match?
Rock and Goldberg.
I somehow feel like I knew it was going to be Goldberg, but I didn't know which match. Because I mean,
Yeah.
it's Goldberg, man. He can pick one at that point.
I just
I'm
saw
not
that
a,
match recently,
full
and
disclosure, I'm not a Goldberg girl.
yeah,
Never have been.
after his recent comments, he's about to
Not
start.
even before then. I've just never. I've been in WCW, and
Well,
you know I love
yeah.
WCW. I've just personally never been a Goldberg girl. So
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. And like you said, his recent comments were just not okay. And
Nah, he's about to get that red and yellow treatment where
he's gonna get he's
I'm
gonna tank his legacy, right? Where he's like,
yeah,
that's
I'm just
unfortunate.
yeah, I'm just gonna call him the ball tattoo guy.
Yep.
The
I
ball
agree.
goatee tattoo guy with the black trunks. That's what I'm gonna call him. But
And you
yeah, so
know who we're
that was
talking
my
about.
right. And that was my number five. And now we are number four.
All right. I think that it's time that we visit Bret Hart versus Owen in WrestleMania 10.
Okay.
I think it's
right.
time we go there. I think this is obviously brother versus brother. There's obviously a lot of history there because they are actually brothers. Everyone knows that. The whole the Heart Boys come out of the Heart Dungeon. I think this is a match that no one thought that Owen would get the pin. This
It's
is a
gonna
match
be,
where everyone assumed that Big Brother Brett was gonna come and just handle little brother, and it's not how that match went. I think that I mean, obviously he tried to put him in that sharpshooter. Owen got out of it. Owen blocked was it a roll? Blocked a roll and beat them and won the match. Pinned Owen,
Oh,
I'm
was it
sorry,
the oh
pinned Brett the
victory
victory
roll,
roll.
victory roll,
Yeah.
victory roll.
Brett tried to end the match with the victory roll. Owen said, not it, not today, and pinned Brett to win. So again, I don't think this is I think that everyone thought this was going to be kind of like a match where, all right, Big Brother is going to handle Little Brother and that's it. And Owen said, not today, not tonight.
Yeah, and
And again,
this
another one of those many, another one of those venues, right? Madison Square Garden.
WrestleMania 10, and that was March 20th, 1994. We just celebrated that. I can't believe it's 20 years, man. It's insane. I put up a story on Twitter last week, and I was just saying I remember where I was. I had a parade in my hometown in Newark, New Jersey, with the Spirit of Newark Drum and Bugle Corps. We had the St. Patrick's Day parade that day, and this is when WrestleMania used to start at 4 p.m. And my mom literally met me back at our practice facility to pick me up after the parade was over, and they bust us back so we can get home in time to watch WrestleMania 10.
Gotta be home in time.
Oh yeah, there was really no other, there was no negotiation. Like, I had to get the hell out of there, and I did. But the story started with Brett and Owen. They were planting seeds. You know, it started at Survivor Series 93, where Owen was the only Hart brother to get pinned in the elimination match, because Brett like ran into him. And no, he ran into Brett by accident, and Shawn pinned him. And that's when they were starting, the bickering and the this and the that. And then they patched it up over the holidays. Then they teamed up at the Royal Rumble in 94 to face the Quebecers for the tag titles. Brett injured his knee and couldn't continue, and Owen just kicked, as he said in the interview, kicked his leg out of his leg. And Brett ended up, winning the Royal Rumble that night with Lex Luger. They end up, co-winners, because Brett not only had to wrestle Owen, but he had to wrestle, because he had the coin toss. And he was going to wrestle Owen in the first match, and then he was going to wrestle the winner of the Lex Yoko match in the main event that night. And I'm thinking, oh, Brett's gonna just win this and get ready for a nice championship match. Oh, no. No, Owen won it. But Brett, in his book, he talked about, and I have his book here actually, I do. And he talked about how the night before WrestleMania, he called Owen and said, we gotta redo this match. Because the way it was designed, the crowd was gonna cheer Owen because of the fact that A, they were in New York. And B, it was just going to be a straight up technical match. And Brett wanted to point out, like, listen, you're the heel. You're going to have to do some underhanded shit in this match in order for this to work. And they did. And he did. Owen did some dirty things in the match, raked the eyes or whatever. And yeah, that's how he was able to do it. And it worked out beautifully. And then, of course, Brett winning the championship that night. And then you saw Owen creep into the ring while everyone's celebrating with Brett, and you could kind of see his read his lips saying, "It should have been me. It should have been me," and let you know that feud was far from over. And Owen had a one hell of a 1994. He won the King of the Ring. He main evented SummerSlam against Brett in the steel cage. You know what I mean? So
Very
like,
important part of his career.
oh yeah. So I mean, and I'm pretty sure Brett had no problems putting over his little brother,
None.
Owen Hart, for that. Incredible. But my number four is TLC 2 from WrestleMania 17. And we talked about that earlier in regards to, but that was truly the culmination of that trilogy, because they had the triangle ladder match at WrestleMania 2000, TLC 1 at SummerSlam 2000, and then of course TLC 2 at WrestleMania 17. And I mean, it's the two spots in the match that people still talked about today, and that was the Edge spearing Jeff while Jeff was hanging from the ring,
Dagled, yep.
dangling, and Edge speared him from the top of the ladder. And then, of course, the big spot where Bubba and Matt Hardy got tipped over off the ladder onto like the stacked tables outside of the ring. But the cool thing was is that it featured three stars in that match too. Rhino for Edge and Christian, Spike Dudley for the Dudley Boys, and of course Lita, who was with the Hardy Boys. And they did their spots in the ring, you know what I mean? So they were able to get featured, and of course Edge and Christian went, and mind you, Edge and Christian won all three of those matches, by the way. But you walk away with, like, when you talk about those matches, you really don't talk about who won the match. Because, you know, you and I are loyal listeners to Busted Open Radio. Shout out to Dave LaGreca and the crew. But one thing that Bully always talks about is it's not about going over. It's all about getting over.
Everybody got over that night.
And if I'm pretty sure every signing that they do throughout the Comic Cons, the WrestleCons, the big event, you know, all these different, the WrestleCade, you know, the list goes on and on. I'm pretty sure they run into a lot of people that bring up the TLC matches. Because those are truly the highlights of their careers. I mean, they were young. And think about it. If you took Rocky and Austin off that card, TLC 2 could have closed WrestleMania 17.
Yeah, easily.
Like that, and that's why I always say, and a lot of people say that WrestleMania 17 is probably the greatest WrestleMania of all time, because you had everybody in their prime. And everybody had a situation. Everybody had a storyline. Everybody had something going on. You had a stacked roster. Mind you, they had just bought WCW, so I mean, we can't include all the WCW. Granted, you had a few WCW guys that were on that card that prior to them being bought. Obviously, Chris Jericho, the guy that I'm never ever going to mention on a show again because he did some horrible things to his wife and kid. The Big Show, you know what I mean? He was, you know, from WCW. I believe, was it Perry? No. Dean Malenko, Eddie Guerrero, I forget who it was on that card. I think it may have been Dean Malenko and those guys, or maybe Eddie Guerrero that may have been on that card too. I think for a European title match that was on the line. But still, you had a lot of talent in their prime on that card at WrestleMania 17. So, I mean, if you seriously, if Rocky and Austin, let's just say for some reason they had to take that match off, I truly believe that TLC 2 could have closed the show.
Easily. That is out of a doubt. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Now we're going to hit up number three. Number three, Trace, you go.
Once again, I think that it's hard to talk about WrestleMania without talking about Undertaker. So I picked Undertaker versus Triple H from number 17.
Wow. The street fight, man. It was like, all right, you had Myrtle Head playing Hunter to the ring. You had Undertaker riding that bike. And that's I love that shot when they were on the side and they just let him come down that ramp. I love that. Because when they did the WWE Sacrifice video vignette, when they had My Sacrifice playing and they showed that shot of Taker coming down the ramp at WrestleMania 17. I love that video package. I love that. Dave Sahadi. Huge shout out to him because he was the one putting all of those video packages together back then. Dave Sahadi is the man. But it was everything, because mind you, I don't know if you knew, that match was a last minute thing. Vince had totally forgot that Taker and Triple H weren't even on the card. They had nothing to do.
Right. How like, very imagine, odd is that? Yeah,
like,
imagine.
Like, think about, now, I just said that was a stacked roster. Now imagine. Your roster is so stacked that you forgot. Oh shit! Triple H and The Undertaker don't have a match.
Right? Like, what are we doing?
Oh my god! And this is no over the hill Triple H or no over the hill Undertaker. No, these are guys in their prime. Yeah, they beat the living crap out of each other. My god,
easily. Yeah, like I said, if you have to pick a match, that's the match that I would pick for Undertaker. I do think Undertaker obviously had a streak and he had amazing matches. But I just think that him versus Triple H is one of those ones that's not talked about often enough.
Yeah, true. It was crazy is that they really didn't start counting the streak until WrestleMania 18 when he did
I was
the
gonna say
Queen's
when he
Under the
yeah.
Number. And he did that when he beat Ric Flair and he said 10 and 0 at WrestleMania. So
Yeah.
no one was really paying attention to the streak until Jerry Lawler and basically, said, oh, he's 10 and 0 at WrestleMania. So that's how it started. So there you have it. But my number three, and you mentioned it, obviously, Austin Rock 2 from WrestleMania 17. That's my number three. Like I said, the two biggest face, the two faces of the company, and hell of a match, told a great story. Everything you can ever ask for out of a main event from your two top guys. That's all I got on that. So let's move on to number two.
All right. Number two. All right, let's do it. Let's talk about Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker. Since we're talking about Taker, let's do Shawn and Taker from number
Which
25.
25.
25.
Okay. Yeah, that first of all, the entrances were incredible. First,
Yeah.
right? The entrance, let's start, the entrances was incredible. And it's crazy to think that Shawn, this was a different Shawn Michaels that Taker had last wrestled. Oh God, you figure they had a, you could tell they had something, going, because Royal Rumble 2007, they were the last two in there, and that was, wow, incredible. And then they were the first two in the ring at Royal Rumble 08 at the Garden. I was there for that, and I'm just like, oh, they're starting it off with this? Okay. So they were planting seeds for 2 years that this encounter was going to happen, and somebody kicking out
Explosion.
of the tombstone.
Never heard of.
Jim
Never heard of it.
Ross's his response, I'm having an out-of-body experience.
Jim Ross's one-liners,
I
just
mean, you couldn't, again, that's why I always say he is the greatest play-by-play man in the history of wrestling. He doesn't put himself, he always puts Gordon Soley ahead of him. Jim Ross is the man. And again, when we talk about the venue, the fans, commentary, the wrestlers, the referee, everyone doing their part. Like, you saw Shawn Michaels kick out of the tombstone. You're like, ooh.
What is happening? Come on now.
I'm like, man, unbelievable. Unbelievable. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, I think the streak is about to be broken.
Everyone did.
Yeah,
Everyone did.
literally. And of course, Taker ends up catching him, got him with the tombstone that ended up pinning him. But I mean, you could tell that the crowd was worn out after that,
Yeah.
because by the time the main event came along, Triple H and Randy Orton, the crowd was just flat.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, where do you go from that match? You know what
Right.
I mean? Like,
Same thing happened with Rock, with Rock and Red and Yellow. Jericho and Triple H had to go on last. You know what I mean? And it was just, granted, the crowd was still in it, but that you could just tell that the energy was just taken out of the crowd, because it was so much emotion happening in the ring. So many things that you didn't expect. Again, no one was ever thinking about Shawn Michaels kicking out of the tombstone. Nobody. Nobody. But my number two had a similar effect on a WrestleMania, of course. And I'm talking about WrestleMania 13, Bret Hart and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Mentions gone. I love how our matches, our matches, whenever we do these, they always seem to link up. And I love that. We
Yeah.
have like one or two differences, but most part, me and you are always on the same page.
Yeah, number two, Bret Hart and Stone Cold, because that was the first time that a double turn happened in a match at a WrestleMania, you know what I mean? And you're talking about Bret Hart was already having some heat because of the fact that people was saying, oh, he's whining or he's crying or this, that, and the other, because he got screwed out of the Rumble, which he did. You know what I mean? And he won the Final Four Battle Royal thing at In Your House Final Four to win the title, only to lose to the Sid the night, the next night. Bret Hart was trying to he was in a steel cage against Sid, and Undertaker slammed that door on his face, and Bret Hart had the meltdown of meltdowns when
Yes.
when Vince asked him, he said, I know you're frustrated, and he shoved him down. Frustrated? frustrated isn't a goddamn word for it. This is bullshit. He's like, you can tell everybody in that goddamn dressing room that I'm the best there is, the best there was,
and the best there'll ever be.
I mean, man, I was just like, because that was the first time they had let, you know, a curse word
fly,
you know, fly on USA Network, and I think they had the they let them know the heads up of what was going on. But man, now that's going into WrestleMania, and him and Steve Austin having a submission. It was a submission match.
Mm-hmm.
It's even a street fight. It was a submission match, and Ken Shamrock was the referee. And when Austin, I think he gave him a low blow. And when he started putting the boots to him, you know, the mud hole in him and walking it dry, he did the middle finger. And that crowd, mind you, that was in Chicago at the Rosemont. And talking about an arena, again, making the match, making everything happen. And it was just Stone Cold became a superstar with Bret Hart.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And of course, he didn't give up. He just passed out to the sharpshooter because he was bleeding. And remember,
so
he was
much
pushing
going
up.
on.
He was pushing up out of there, and the blood was, it was just the,
Ugh.
It was just
Yeah.
the image. And they made it a shirt, Blood of a Stone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was just so much thing. It was so
Iconic.
many things happening in that one match. And you turn one guy heel and another guy babyface. It was incredible.
Devil turn.
And that's why I will definitely have that in my top three, hands down. You're number two.
So my number two, while I don't think that is a top 10 match, I know this is wow, we're talking about seven matches. I think that it needs to be talked about. I think that we need to talk about Sasha versus Bianca.
Okay.
I think that, again, while I do not think it is one of the top 10 matches ever in life, I think that it was a great moment in WrestleMania history,
historic for so many reasons.
We have our two black women main eventing WrestleMania.
And kudos to Michael Cole for pointing that out on commentary. Yes.
100%. Again, I just think that it, one of those matches that we have to talk about, regardless. Again, just two black women. And I mean, you can see the beginning of the match. Bianca's crying. Sasha's crying. Just the emotion and just taking in that moment. And then them finally locking up and having their match. But I love that moment for Sasha. And I love that moment for, Mercedes. For Sasha and that moment for Bianca. Just chef's kiss.
Okay. Now I'm going to go to number one.
Okay.
And we already talked about it already. Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker. That's my number one. And just for all the things that we talked about and mentioned and everything, but I just want to just talk about what that was my number one. But getting back to Sasha and Bianca, I mean, when she whipped that girl with her braid, ooh, my God. You
the
saw
sound
the wealth.
it made, baby.
That was
Tell
a
me
shoot.
wrestling ain't real. Tell me wrestling ain't real.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The welt was on her side. You saw it on her room. Like, man, she ate it. I mean, I'll give it to her.
Yeah, I know that shit hurt. I know that hurt.
But now you're number one.
So, my number one. My number one actually was Charlotte and Rhea.
Rhea.
We talked about it previously. For the various reasons, again, like we mentioned multiple times, I do feel like this should have main evented. I think this was a great match for both of these ladies. From the entrances down to the finish, to the point where you have Charlotte, while Rhea is celebrating, you have Charlotte sitting outside of the ring and, you know, she's smiling. Yes, she lost the belt. But she's sitting outside the ring smiling because she was able to have an amazing match and put an amazing talent over, and an amazing talent got over. Because look at Rhea Ripley now.
Rhea is like she is. When I got my girlfriend, because I took my girlfriend to, shout out to the missus, I love you. I took her to Madison Square Garden for the holiday tour, December, got after her for Christmas because she had never been to a wrestling match before. And she was like, and I was, she knows, she was kind of knowing who Rhea Ripley was, the mommy thing, because my girl is Puerto Rican. And she wanted the mommy's always on top shirt. And I'm like, okay, not a problem, honey. I'll get that for you. She goes home. Her oldest daughter, who's on turning 20 this year, the first thing she said, Mom, where you get that shirt from? And she was like, where'd you get it from? And she said, oh, Derek got it from. She was like, oh my God, I love Rhea Ripley. And I was like, and I'm just like, oh my God. I'm like, she's a fan. So I'm like, all right, now. And I was asking, I was telling her last, I said, honey, I said, I gotta get a shirt. I gotta get a Rhea shirt now. So, but I'm just saying, like, Rhea Ripley is transcending beyond wrestling. She really is. And like, just the fact that she got to have probably the match of her career at that point with one of the best workers in the business, male or female. And kudos to Charlotte Flair for her rehab and how far along she is now.
Oh my gosh.
She'll be back. She'll be back at SummerSlam, I believe, to reclaim her crown. I guarantee that. That's going to happen. That's definitely going
to
happen.
She has to. It has to. I agree.
Now, here are my two honorable mentions. One you mentioned, that's in your top 10, Bret Hart and Roddy Piper. And my second honorable mention is Kurt Angle versus Eddie Guerrero from WrestleMania 20.
Ooh.
Damn.
Let's talk about that one. That has not been on our match. That has not been on our list yet. Let's talk about
it. Let me tell you something. Just seeing Kurt Angle, mind you, because you figure by that time he had that surgery after WrestleMania 19. And you know, he did, you know, he healed up as best he could. I thought he came back too soon, as we know. But of course, he ended up turning heel, you know, and then now they're building a story with Eddie, because Eddie had just won the title from Brock the previous month at No Way Out. And just you saw a little bit of lucha because of Eddie, but it was technical wrestling throughout the whole entire match. A very, very underrated match that some folks talk about, some people that are in the know, they know, but the average fan, and they're probably not going to mention that match. But seeing that match as it happened in Madison Square Garden live as a fan, I was just like, holy shit. Like, it was unbelievable. And Eddie, of course, doing the line, cheating and stealing, he was taking off the boot, and Kurt Angle tried to grab, he had him in the ankle lock, and he yanked the boot, and it came off. And then out of the blue, Eddie Guerrero just did an inside cradle and pinned him and got out of the ring.
Fucking Eddie.
Yeah, man. So it was just that's my honorable mention. What are yours?
So we actually discussed some of my honorable mentions and mixed in. Who did I have? Yeah, we talked about them. My honorable mentions were, sorry, I've lost where I am. We talked about my honorable mentions, so nothing more to add to that one, unfortunately. Sorry.
No worries. But like I said, we're celebrating 40 years of WrestleMania, and, you know, Philadelphia is going to be electric next week for Mania Week. Obviously, you know, next week's episode, Gabby and I are going to be talking about breaking down the entire card of WrestleMania 40, both nights. We're going to talk about it, you know, what our predictions are going to be and what it means, you know, going forward after that. Because we're going to talk about some things about, okay, what's going to happen after night two of WrestleMania? Are we going to have a new champion? Or is the Tribal Chief going to reign supreme?
Oof.
Will the final boss Cody? You know what I mean? We don't know. We just don't know. So we're going to have a full discussion on WrestleMania 40 next week's episode. So get your engines ready, because it's going to be a long, long ride. Before we get out of here, Gabby, give them your social media, please.
All right. You guys can find me at Hi Gabby, HIIGABII on Twitter, as well as Instagram and on Facebook.
All right. Well, Gab, as always, you know, again, you're the matriarch of this show, and I'm beyond. appreciative of everything that you bring, to the
We're coming
show.
on our 1 year friendship anniversary, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. We, again, it was a, I literally was a, I had a 9 a.m. flight out of LAX, and I got to the airport around 6 in the morning after I dropped my Turo car off, and then they dropped me off at the airport, and I see this girl in line. I think she has some, I think I forgot what you had on, but I, you recognized me with my Mania hoodie on. You
Yep.
nodded and you said, "Hey, we got to talk."
Yep.
And
We were in
we were
line
in line
buying waters or
buying
something, like
waters
some
at a, at a
sugar to
conven
keep
at
us
a
awake.
convenience
Yep.
store, at a convenience store. So, like I said, it really goes to show you what the world of wrestling really means to a lot of us, because I didn't know, like
Perfect
this time,
strangers.
yeah, like yeah, this time last year, I didn't know Gabby. I
Perfect
literally I didn't know her.
strangers.
Perfect strangers. And then all of a sudden, what's the old expression? A stranger is a friend you have is a friend you haven't met yet.
I was like,
You
hey,
know what I
we're
mean?
talking. I was like, yo, what are you talking about? Your podcast, all these things. And I was like, yes, give me your socials. Followed you
Yeah.
immediately. And literally, here we are a year
Yeah,
now talking
absolutely. And
about next year's Mania. It's insane when you think about it. But it just hit me like this is our year
yeah,
friendsiversary.
absolutely, absolutely. Chef's kiss to that. Well,
Absolutely.
thank you very much,
Cheers.
Gab, and as always, we'll be talking next week.
Have a great one. See you guys later.
Well, that does it for this week's edition of the D-Loop podcast. Again, kudos to Gabby for stopping by once again as we celebrate 40 years of WrestleMania. And like I said, next week's episode, we're going to be giving our predictions, going over the full card as we talked about, and we hope you definitely tune in. Speaking of which, if you haven't subscribed already, I definitely encourage you to do that. Subscribing on multiple platforms, I'm talking about iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Pandora, Deezer, you name it. And on Apple Podcasts, I definitely encourage you to leave a 5-star review and let the people know what you think of the D-Loop podcast. And during WrestleMania week, you can see yours truly at the world-famous Monster Factory for We've Been Here. That's right. Thursday, a special day this time around, April 4th, a special bell time of 3 p.m. featuring all the stars of the world-famous Monster Factory. But we're gonna have some superstars coming through. We're gonna be having Impact Wrestling slash TNA superstar Steve Macklin, the one and only Shazza McKenzie, Lince Dorado, the notorious 187 Homicide, and the list goes on and on. Tickets are on sale now at monsterfactory.org, and you do not want to miss out on this once in a lifetime event during WrestleMania week, of course. Now, my stores, okay? You can hit up my stores. My pro wrestling tee store is pwt.derricktlewis.com. In addition to my own store with all my Luciete music, merchandise, hoodies, tees, long sleeve tees, tote bags, coffee mugs at shop.derricktlewis.com. All my social media, you can hit me up on at The Real DT Lou, with the exception of Facebook, which is Derrick T. Lewis official page. I have a single out. Just saying, Espacion with Angie Stars is out on all streaming platforms. The music video was on Apple Music, Tidal, Vevo app, and YouTube. Well, I'm going to get out of here, and as I always say, no matter what it is you do in life, always remember to make it count. See you next time.